Welcome to episode 548 of Salcedo Paranormal, and tonight I am finishing my review of the novel Frankenstein. As always, you can find all episodes of the show, along with links to social media and other ways to contact me, at the podcast page. And that is salcedoparanormal.podbean.com. That's S-A-L-S-I-D-O, paranormal. podbean.com. Always happy to hear from you all, whether you have comments or questions or topic suggestions or stories of paranormal experiences, whether they're your own or from others that you trust. Happy to either read those or have you join me on the show to talk about them. Thank you all for listening, whether you are here for the live streams on Discord or if you listen on the podcast or YouTube feeds or on the Trouble Minds Radio Network, KUAP, Digital Broadcasting. There you can hear replays of two episodes of the show every night at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, right before Trouble Minds Radio comes on. As always, I want to thank Michael Strange, host of Trouble Minds Radio, as well as Liam Martin, host of the Exiled Minds podcast, for producing these shows and putting them up on the station as you hear them, with the music at the beginning and end of every episode. If you'd like to support the show, there are some different ways to do that. You can always share the show with others and rate and review it on your favorite podcast platform. You can find some books I've written, paranormal fiction and nonfiction, over on Amazon. You can also sign up for the Patreon page, where there will be one extra True Paranormal Stories from the Web episode every month. And that will be available to all paid membership level tiers there. Or you can just make one-time donations through PayPal. Support is never expected, but always appreciated, as there are expenses in making these shows, from equipment to research materials to travel expenses in some cases. And it's a continuation of the last episode, but it's also not totally focused on books, the original book, or just books in general. As I was doing, sort of confirming some things, I found an article that talks about some movies that I hadn't thought of as being inspired by the novel Frankenstein, which we reviewed last episode. But we'll get to that as we go here. Obviously, there were some movies in the 30s that came out that were based on the movie there, or the movie, the book, and that would be, and I verified this earlier, Frankenstein in 1931, and it was starred Boris Karloff, famous Universal monster movie and actor, and who played in a lot of those, established many of the iconic Frankenstein visuals and tropes. Let me see, 1931. So, in 1935 was Bride of Frankenstein. And that is basically the sequel to the novel and that first movie, where the creature that was to be made in the book. The partner to the original creature was actually made. I haven't seen these movies. I don't do well with movies so much anymore now because of my eyes and light sensitivity and all that. But I did just want to point these out, these movies. So, and then some years later, 1974, I did see part of this one when I was a kid, teenager, I think around there, Young Frankenstein, which was a Mel Brooks beloved comedy, according to the AI here, starring Gene Wilder, apparently, that affectionately parodies the classic Frankenstein films. I did see part of that. I definitely recommend it. It was hilarious. From what I can, I don't remember a lot of it, but I do remember I was laughing the whole time. So I definitely recommend that one. And it does sort of still touch on some of the themes and sort of the struggle of Frankenstein's creation. And so, yeah, definitely recommend that. But then I found this other article here. Oh, and there were some books. I found out there is a whole 5-book series that from Dean Koontz, sort of taking the idea of Victor Frankenstein as well as his creation into the modern times, and to the point where Victor sort of used his own methods to prolong his life, make himself live a lot longer than a regular person would. And I'm going to look into that. I'm going to see if I can get those in audio, and because there's 5 books. So I'm going to see if I can get those in audio and listen to those and review those books, because I'd be curious as to sort of where Koontz goes with that story. I do like a lot of most of the books I've read by Stephen King. Stephen King, I do read a lot of King. Or I have read a lot of Stephen King. Most of the books I've read and listened to by Dean Koontz, I really did like. So I imagine that I will like that series as well. So that it will be coming eventually. That's going to take some time to get all the find all the audio and probably have to buy them because they're not that old, obviously. So, but so yeah, that was just the books I wanted to talk about for that. There have been other things, like I said, inspired by that. But then I found this one article here from it's from Screen Rant. And I'll share this in the episode description. The title is Frankenstein, 10 movies inspired by the book that aren't adaptations. And so I'm just going to go through and sort of summarize some of the things that caught my attention here from this article here. A couple of the ones that I'm familiar with. There's some that I'm not at all. The first one it mentions is Ex Machina. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. In 2014, it says that this is a apparently an AI revenge thriller. Apparently, it's let's see here. So it's indebted. It's inspired by Frankenstein. Now, I probably should say again in this episode here, there will be spoilers for some things. So if you want to avoid that, then there's your warning. But in this movie, there's a different character. Let me see. Alicia Vikander serves as the Frankenstein monster, while Oscar Isaac plays her problematic creator, similar to Victor Frankenstein. So that's all they say for that one. I'm glad these aren't completely... Oh, there's a little more. But, so the character in the movie is named Ava, and it's a sentient AI who... typo there. It says years, but I think it's supposed to be yearns. To escape her imprisonment, and she recruits the other character, Caleb Smith, to help her. Meanwhile, Nathan Bateman, I think is the name of the character here, evolves into a self-serving engineer with a propensity for basically just misusing his inventions. So that one I'd heard of the title, but I had never watched it. Now, one thing I did see years ago was the first RoboCop movie. And this is, of course, the article says it's a cult classic. It takes the concept of a reanimated corpse and turns it into a dystopian tale, basically with a lot of social commentary, the article says. So, in the this is set sort of in the future, and there is this policeman, Detroit policeman actually, Alex Murphy, who is severely injured, and he is recruited or used by this one company Omni Consumer Products to make a cyborg. So he's actually killed in the line of duty, and then his body is used to make RoboCop, but he still retains some memories of his past, if I remember correctly. So, and this is, of course, there were some sequels to that as well. And so the article says here, as RoboCop goes out on the streets, his memories of his life as a before he was killed start to come back. And so it's that's sort of where the similarity to Frankenstein is, that there's this social satire, and then also just the issues of being a new creature in a way, but also still having memories of a past. So yeah, let me see here. That's the next one it says here, it talks about here. Another one here it mentions is The Fly. I've heard of this one again, but I never saw it. So now in this one, the article says that it sort of merges the scientist and the monster. In this, it's a remake, of course, of the 1958 film of the same name. And it says that the character's name, played by Jeff Goldblum, not sure how you say that name. The character's name is Seth Brundle. Is just experiments on himself, I guess, in a way. But looks at just his humanity. It says, let me see here. So this movie, it raises questions about humanity's insatiable search for innovation. So let me see here. There's more here about that movie. It says that Brundle invents teleportation pods, which he's excited to show off to his love interest in the movie, a scientific journalist named Ronnie, played by Gina Davis. That's a neat connection there to Beetlejuice, actually. So Brendel decides to put himself through the pods, but he doesn't notice a fly that joins him on one of these pads, which causes Brendel to turn into a human fly hybrid. So, and then it, so it mentions here, from a science experiment gone bad to a monster movie, basically, that it blurs the lines between humanity and monstrosity. And so shares a lot of parallels with Frankenstein. So I'm just looking to see what else here is there in the article. There's a lot of little ads that break up each of these entries. So this, I found this article here not long before I started the show today, so that's why I don't have it all down. I don't know everything that's in the article here, but I just thought that was neat that there's this other article about sort of this same topic. But we'll keep on going with this here, because it seems to be working, and the next one it mentions here is called Moon, MOON. And that came out in 2009. It says that Moon is a smart and innovative science fiction film that raises an important question. What happens when the creature doesn't know it's not a human? So, let's see here. This is Lunar Miner, as in mining operations, who is near the end of his stint drilling for different fuels on the far side of the moon. And he's aided by an AI system known as Gerty. I'm not sure if it's Gerty. But things start to go wrong when the character Sam finds a clone of himself on board the ship. So soon, Sam, the character, finds evidence of even more clones and the truth behind what's going on there, basically. So that's the description for that one. The next movie they mentioned here, and this was another one I haven't seen, but I've heard about. Of course, that would be Edward Scissorhands, 1990. Again, sort of another Beetlejuice connection here. Tim Burton. This is from Tim Burton. His classic social satire stars Johnny Depp as an artificial man whose inventor dies before finishing him. So, and because of that, it leaves this character with scissors for hands. And the humanoid is rescued by a local sales representative and takes him out of the mansion that he was created in and into basically a new suburban community. So, let me see here. Says that in the article here, it says, like the Frankenstein monster, Edward struggles to get by in the human world, especially as neighbors basically take advantage of him left and right. And the article mentions that it seems obvious that Burton based a lot of the character's development on Frankenstein, even if the movie felt more like a dark fairy tale when compared to Shelley's tragedy. And Shelley is, of course, the author of Frankenstein. So, let's see how much more we have to go here. I think only a couple. So, hopefully this is okay for you all. I just thought this was neat, sort of seeing how a book from over a century ago, I believe, has inspired movies from this last century and into today. Let me see. The next one they mentioned here is The Skin I Live In, which is the came out in 2011. And I apologize for people that are major movie, really into movies that sort of know all these things and are either annoyed or laughing at me stumbling through all these descriptions. But again, that's I don't watch movies as much as I used to, and so a lot of my knowledge of movies does not expand much over time. So, let me see here. I lost my spot. Okay, there we go. Okay, so this is this movie takes. Let's see, there we go. Takes Shelley's story into shocking and refreshing territory. It says here, with. Oh, apparently this is a Spanish language. It's foreign, foreign film, I guess you could kind of call it. So, but this also does star Antonio Banderas as Dr. Robert Ledyard, who is a fanatical plastic surgeon working to develop skin that is resilient to burns. And so as the doctor's personal life unravels, culminating in the loss of both his wife and daughter. I'm guessing it just means divorce. The mad doctor captures another younger man that he believes to be responsible for his. So it is death, his daughter's death. And so this doctor forces the prisoner to what the doctor forces the prisoner to endure is a step of nightmares. It says. So, glad they don't go into too much detail there. The next one here I've heard of again came out in the year I was born, actually. That's Blade Runner. Came out in 1982. And this is, again, this is one of those movies where I've never seen it, but I've heard so much about it. This movie is from Ridley Scott. And the character, Dr. Eldon Tyrell, represents the uncaring maker whose replicant creations rebel against him. And of course, this movie stars Harrison Ford as Rick Deckard, who is a police officer who has to eliminate these rogue replicants before they start an uprising. And people, let me see here, says the article here, people in this line of work in the movie, it says, are referred to as Blade Runners. So, here, let me see here. It says that while technically based on a Philip K. Dick novel, Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, the film is full of allusions and subtle nods to Frankenstein. So the replicant that is sort of featured in that movie is played by, let me see here. I don't see. I'm not sure if I'm getting the name right. So, but the character Roy Beatty, I think it is, expresses philosophies in the film that seem to come straight from the mind of the creature in Mary Shelley's novel Frankenstein. So, let's see here. There's another one here. I thought this was them, but I guess there's a couple more. So there's actually a couple more here. A few more here. Let me just look and see how much more there is to go. Okay, yeah, there's only three more to go here. We might not get through all of them, and I'll let you all check out the article when I share it in the description here. This next movie they talk about, let me see if any of these are ones I'm familiar with. The next one is called Upgrade, and that came out in 2018. And this is, let's see here. This movie takes Shelley's story into cyberpunk territory with this feature film starring Logan Marshall Green. So it says that following a terrible accident that leaves the main character paralyzed and his wife dead, Marshall Green's character, let's see here, his name is Gray Trace, lets a tech CEO plant an AI chip named STEM into his brain that lets him walk again. But in addition to that, Trace soon realizes that he has, let me see, superhuman strength. But unfortunately, this AI chip has its own goals and plans to use Trace's body to achieve them. So I think that's where we'll leave off here. There's a couple more movies left. But I wanted to show that this novel from way back when now has really inspired a lot of films, apparently. And I think that's really amazing. Again, we didn't really do that for Dracula, but I'm sure there's plenty of movies based on that. I mean, I know there are just different versions of the same novel with that same name of just Dracula. And then, of course, all the different versions. So that's going to be it for this review of Frankenstein. Again, next week we will start reviewing the Book of Ceremonial Magic. So that'll be a long book review series. And that'll be next week. So thank you all for listening, and I will talk to you all on the next episode of Salcedo Paranormal. Take care.